Well, you didn't see anything that just happened. If you've been listening to the podcast and watching the video, you're just starting this podcast in video form. It's been going on for 5-6 minutes in audio form. But because because Rob, who in his defense is handling everything technical, he failed, but only on a couple of fronts. Only on my ability to hear him for a while.
Yeah.
And then on his ability to record it audio wise and then his ability to record it video wise. Other than that, it's been a home run. You know what I mean?
I feel like I've been on fire. I'm doing a lot. And
aside from your back injury.
So let's say one more time. This is Kings of Con.
This is Kings of Con. The podcast.
Hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the Kings of
Live from Fartoon Studios and somewhere in Oregon, it's Kings of Con, the podcast. This week's guest,
Kings of Con,
Jensen Ackles.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I have a question right out of the gate that I want to get to the bottom of. Did you clean your place for this podcast? Because that's spotless.
No, this is one of the virtual backgrounds.
It's called Quarantine TV Star.
Clean apartment in downtown Vancouver. That's actually, I do see, let me close my bedroom door because nobody needs to see that.
Hey, everybody.
Sign me up.
Shrug. That's the cleanest that place has ever been. That's the cleanest
that place. I can hear you. Hey, we doing cocktails?
Yes.
Yes. What are you going with? Nice.
What do you mean?
Sazerac or Negroni?
It's like you know me.
Yeah. Your cocktail's way better than my cocktail.
He takes his cocktail very seriously.
Dude.
Yeah. Pre-made a little Negroni here.
Negroni nice, with a ball of ice. You have your own ice baller. Dude. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah, you don't?
Wow.
No, just my own baller. I got that. I'm going with a little Stein whiskey made up here in Joseph, Oregon, a little local.
Oh, yeah.
Robbie, what do you got?
I've got the drink that we call the podcast, tequila, soda, and lemon.
You've got to really be an ass if you can't make yourself a podcast. You've got to really be an ass if you can't make yourself a podcast. Get it.
You know what?
Okay.
You know what? I like the fact that your virtual background allows you to walk deeply into it and retrieve items.
Yeah, it's this new it's new technology. They're using it on The Mandalorian. It's really great. It's
unbelievable.
It's more virtual.
You have such a better computer than I have. Dude, I haven't seen you since I stopped seeing you. Like since all this shit.
I haven't seen you since I saw you.
Yeah, I know. And that's been a while.
Well, to be fair, it was when you were up here directing.
Correct.
Which would have been episode 18?
18. And the next day, everything shut down.
Yeah.
Day two. It was, we had one full day of 19.
Yeah.
All right.
And then it was day two of 19 that they...
Yeah. So which means it's like, and I know that you guys are back up. We're going to get to that. You're back up. They're resuming the story, but it was trippy that like on the heels. So I stayed an extra day. So I finished shooting, shot late into the night. So the next day I stayed. And so it was the day that I flew out that you guys did shut down because you got a day under your belt. And by the time I was taken off, everybody was pulling the plug and it was all shutting down. I'm thrilled that everything is getting back up and running, and it's weird, and we'll get into that. But one of my personal goals for you guys resuming, because you had one day under your belt, is I was really hoping that like you or Jared would like balloon in weight or do something dramatically different with your physical appearance so that like in one scene you're walking around and you're normal you, and then you turn the corner and you're obese.
Good though.
And well, it's never explained.
Have you seen
it? So now to be fair, no, Rob, what were you going to say?
Have you seen his hair, Rich? He looks very different.
Well, he's wearing a hat, so yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah, I know, but I know that what's going to happen is the professionals over there We'll make up. Up. Yeah. Like,
that actually happens. I think I have a date Monday where we start filming on Tuesday, and they're like, listen, guys, it's been the longest break you've ever had from Supernatural. We're going to need to actually bring in a crew to. It's going to be like that scene in Dumb and Dumber, where like there's like the belt sander for the toenails.
You're giving them problems they can solve, like the hair and the facial hair. I wanted something they couldn't solve.
You know, to be fair, I did fall into the quarantine 15.
Okay.
Maybe not 15, but I certainly.
The quarantine 20s?
Yeah. It was not high on the priority list of like keeping to my schedule of like how I eat and when I work out and all that kind of stuff, because that kind of plays into what I do up here in Vancouver.
Yeah, right? But at 15,
going home,
15, what's that? 15 looks okay on you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, no, but then they were like, okay, we're going to be back to work in August. And this was, you know, mid-May or maybe the end of May. And I was like, perfect. 2 months to clean it up. And so, you know, I just...
Yeah. Okay, my beef is not with you then, it's with production for giving you a heads up. What they should have done, they should have said, you're on a plane tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow, we're going to need you upstairs. Right.
That would have been quality funny.
Nah.
Damn it.
Yeah. To be fair, we and Richard, you and I talked briefly about this, about what coming out of 2 weeks of quarantine would look like. And I think we briefly discussed like, well, hey, if we're going to be quarantining, like I might as well, like Rob's going to be up here. We should just quarantine together.
Right.
I think your response was, yeah, you guys might actually come out with an album and diabetes. I think.
I remember that you actually, there was a moment of you really considering I could quarantine with Rob, but
there was
word got out, and suddenly a very strongly worded letter was sent to Warner Brothers Brass from your liver, who insisted that not happen.
No.
You get hackles, you don't get hackles in the liver. Like, I'm out.
Yeah, no, one or the other.
However, we're making a good go at it. We've had a couple Zoom sessions, Jensen and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm like, that's like, you guys are having there's a whole experience that obviously is going to be different than what the show was, but it's this really unique lightning in a bottle moment you guys are having up there with quarantining, with prepping. You're literally, it's like you're in a space pod and you're going to land on the moon, because you don't know what it's going to be like when you arrive at that destination for day one. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Well, I actually had a good phone call with Warner Brothers, like health and safety.
Oh yeah. They team. Called me too.
Did they call you?
And they just said, they told like, Rob, they said, just stop it. Whatever, it's just, come on, man.
Stop. Come on. Put it down.
We not see funny.
You. We see
give
you.
It up.
We're watching you and everyone's watching you. Just stop it.
And they, you know, they kind of laid out what it was going to look like next Tuesday. And it's going to be weird, because this is a crew that is so intertwined. I mean, you know, you got most shows, I think, you know, the grips show up, they do their work. The electrics come up, they do their work. You got camera, they're, you know, they're in their thing, and sound, and you got the actors and hair and makeup, and they kind of, and everybody just kind of like, you know, it's business as usual. They go to work, they do their thing. But the camaraderie that is grown into this particular set, I think is, you know, unlike most.
Oh yeah.
And so it's going to be really tough. I mean, I had a few phone conversations today with some of our crew, and they were like, I'm not in your team, in your, like, I think we're color coded.
Oh yeah. We have,
can you walk me through pods. That? Tell me what you've heard about the plan. I'm interested in that.
We have pods.
So everybody. Yeah. I mean, well, Rob, did you hear the same thing?
She just mentioned this pod thing, and I kind of nodded like, yeah, right. Pods. Like, yeah. But like, I have no idea what it means, but she's like, you know, we divide into our pods. And I was like,
So it's, yeah, so everybody is color-coded, essentially, and you stay with your color-coded group, and you're not allowed to, you know, cross-pollinate.
So am I in your group?
So we're, I believe we're in the red group, and then anybody that has to come into contact with us is also in that group. So you got your hair and makeup and your wardrobe, and you know, people that hand us our props and sound, and I would assume camera, because they're so close to us that they would have to be.
Yeah.
But then you've got everybody else in, you know, the yellow group or the green group. And so those groups are literally not allowed to like fraternize.
People like lighting technicians?
Yeah.
Well, so here's the question, and maybe you'll know. So is it going to be you guys go on, you block the scene with John Showalter and your Mark and everything, and then you leave, and then Grips come in and they light it. I mean, so Grips weren't in there. They didn't watch it. So now they're getting briefed by Pod. Red Pod is telling Yellow Pod, wow, trippy.
Yeah, I think there's probably, you know, point people from those that come in and watch from a safe distance.
Right.
And then once we have exited the stage, then they'll bring other people in to, and then say, okay, this is what we're doing. This is where the actors were. This is where they're going. Let's get to work. And that's going to add a lot of time.
So much time, man.
Dude. Oof. And the days are shorter automatically. My understanding is there's a finite number of hours. I love how also your virtual background has a moving sun that just.
It does. Yeah. That's an extra. It's a pack.
I don't get a moving sun in my real background here. You're hitting your window robot to will go and change it for you.
Yes, my virtual
your robot decorator. Your robot butler.
He actually has a pod. He has a pod in his apartment.
And we're good. Wait, should I be holding the microphone here?
No, I can hear you pretty good. Oh wait, can you say Sarah? Can you get me Clive at the hardware store? That looks like an old timey.
I've got the upright bass in the bedroom. It's you know, it's
gonna be crazy. Okay, here's a question for you guys. What are they gonna do about background talent? Are they gonna do? Do you guys have crowd scenes or anything like that coming up?
So, well, to be fair, and I don't want to give too much away as far as what the scripts are about, but the scripts are not
not crowd heavy.
They're not crowd heavy. They're really focused more on the central characters. Yeah. So we kind of lucked out as far as that goes, but. You know, the shows that are coming, we're the very first show, the Warner Brothers show in North America that's coming back.
Yeah, you guys are literally the test case. That's what I'm saying you guys are landing on foreign soil.
Well, that's why it was funny that the person from Warner Brothers called us today, because they're just checking in. They're like, how's it going? Do you have any questions about anything? You know, and they told me about the run through, but they didn't have a lot of information other than just like, you okay?
Yeah, they were wanted to know if we had concerns, like this, are you okay with us doing this? Are you okay with this, the implement, you know, implementing these kinds of, you know, protocols? And
man,
so I don't know, I just spoke candidly to him and was like, look guys, this is all, we're landing on Mars here, like you said, and it's I'll let you know.
Yeah
Same.
I'll be happy to let you know, because obviously I want everybody and everything to get back to work as safely and as quickly as possible.
Right.
I also want to be as smart as possible and not do anything stupid. So I was like, check in with me after a week and I'll tell you what's working and what's not.
Right.
Yeah.
So on along those lines, question for both you guys. You're both quarantining. You're both doing something that I haven't done. I mean, I have with my family and been in lockdown, but I haven't just done the isolation, solitude, doing this, preparing for a job experience you're having right now. Start with you, Rob. What's it like? Like, what's your routine? What have you found challenging? What have you found easy?
It's weird. I mean, I'm pretty self-sufficient here. I got everything I need. For me, it's a matter of, there's a lot of pressure that I'm putting on myself to get something real accomplished with these 14 days. You know what I mean? Like, make it matter. And like, I can't seem to do anything.
Doing something, got a pottery wheel and you're just.
Right, exactly. But in reality, I'm playing PlayStation and going, does this matter? This doesn't matter.
Did you bring a PlayStation with you?
I did, sir. I did.
Ah, that's genius.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. And it also has Netflix on it and whatnot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it lonely? I mean, is it like, or, you know, is it weird?
No, I feel like since I get to do this, I can FaceTime and Zoom with people and you know, Jensen and I, honestly, we had hung out the other night for maybe 5 or 6 hours. We just
propped the computer up on the, you know, and made cocktails and hung out and chatted and talked. And
I made dinner at one point. Like, we're just, you know, hanging out.
Yeah. While we're hanging out.
It may be the thing, you know, I always wonder, like, what would this scenario be if we didn't live in the digital world we lived in? But then again, maybe this would never happen in a simpler time. I don't know. I mean, it happened in 1918, but yeah. I don't know. I just wonder if, because at least we've been able to connect like this. At least you guys had each other on your iPads having a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at least your long distance calls weren't, you know, costing you $2 a minute with big pauses in it. Like, you can call friends and relatives and FaceTime.
I remember back in the day when, and Jensen, I don't know if it was like this for you, when you first started in Canada, like in Vancouver, like around 2000, 2001, like it was a big deal to call home because you had to leave the country. It was a thing calling America from Canada.
I had two cell phones because the plans just didn't, you know, it was so expensive that it actually made sense to carry two phones,
right?
You know, just so you could make your local calls and your talk to production and have them get a hold of you, and then eventually, you know, the networks and the satellites and everything kind of caught up with the demand, and now we don't need that anymore. But yeah, it was awkward. I would say that, you know, in normal, this isn't normal, like having to literally barricade yourself into a room and not leave. Like, we're not allowed to cross the threshold of that door.
Right.
And that's bizarre. Like, you know, when I was home with my family, we'd go outside, we'd go shoot, you know, basketball in the driveway, and we'd go play in the front yard or go swimming in the backyard or what we could do things. It felt like a Saturday to me.
Right.
Right. Right.
This feels like, you know, mild imprisonment.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels like a sick day. It feels like a sick day. And
yeah. Yeah. Cause you can't, yeah, you just, it's like the couch is really your best friend. And
yeah,
even though you're looking, you know, I made the mistake of like putting on my Apple Watch. While I was 15.
Did you count your step?
That was not a smart move.
It's so annoying.
It's like, you know, I don't need to breathe right now. I'm alive.
Oh, you're like, I'm up to 4.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I've climbed -2 flights of stairs today.
Yeah, and every once in a while it says, it's time to stand up.
Time to stand up. And it's just like dismissed for the day.
I'm like, fuck off.
Screw you, Apple Watch.
Right. But it actually has motivated me to actually get in like some sort of a calisthenic workout or do something, you know, active wise. And then it says, you've closed your rings. And then I take the watch off and I throw it.
Yeah. So, you've thrown your watch. Here's a question. Mentally. why are you mad at me, Jensen? Your Apple Watch is like, how? It's like crawling back towards your bedside table.
Which was on TV yesterday. I watched 2001 was on TV yesterday. And again, you know, quarantine, hashtag quarantine.
Yeah.
But I'm watching 2001, like, it's a perfect movie to watch. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you should watch that and watch A Contagion, and it's just a real totally laugh.
I found the show, and Rob, I told you about this. This new I guess it's not that new, but it's this reality show called Alone.
Right.
It's what?
Have you heard of it?
No.
It's called Alone. So they take like a few contestants, right, and they drop them off in the middle of nowhere, far away from each other, so they're not, you know, they're not together.
Right.
It's like they drop one here, and then 25 miles away they drop another one, and 30 miles away they drop another one, and then they supply them with all of their cameras, and they're like, last man standing, see you later. And it's just you see if you can survive longer than the other people that are out there somewhere, you don't know where, and the only way you'll know that is if a helicopter comes and picks you up.
Oh, and then you know you've won.
And the other, there's like a distress button, you know, it's like, boom, I quit, I'm out. And that's, you know, that's how they know. But it's essentially just people being utterly alone with nothing. And they have to forage and catch their food, and they have to.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
Jeez.
It's so I just sat and watched like two seasons of that. And I was like, wow, this isn't that bad. While I'm ordering pizza, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also alone.
I'm also alone.
I would like to get, I'll get the butter.
Yeah. I'll get the extra pepperoni.
What a bummer that would be is if you applied to be a contestant on that show thinking it was about fiscal responsibility and taking a leveraging your home. Like you're like, sure, I would love to get a loan. So I'll get money. I'll reinvest.
There was a moment where I was like, what the hell does that have to do with being a loan? I was like, I don't know where he's going.
It's a loan shark.
But yeah, leave it to you to find the pun.
A little comedy serpentine right there. I lost him, Rob. I'm not on his tail. Yeah, watch. Back on it. You lost me, Jensen.
Stop.
I threw you. Or did I throw you?
Oh, but it's so good, man. I mean, just hearing that voice again, too. Like, it's, you know, now it's become a part of our culture, but just that whole, like, I don't know where you're going, Dave.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Al, nothing creepier.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, guys, because you called it like a sick day. Is the mental part, because obviously you both have nice places, you can reach out to your buddies, you have digital. It seems to me like one of the mind fucks of this whole thing would not be not leaving. It would be knowing you can't leave. You know, it's sort of the mental threshold of I could walk out this door, but there are consequences. I can't walk out this door. You know, it's that part of it that seems like it would add that level of being boxed in.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's just like, this is my task. This is my mission right now.
Right.
I got 2 weeks, buckle down, get it done.
Yeah.
And then move on to the next task.
Well, I know certainly like all of us being, you know, supporters of those in the military, anytime you think you're doing something difficult and you think about what it's like to be like, you know, dropped behind enemy lines and, you know, or reading, you know, Louis Zamperini's book about being stuck on a raft for 41 days in the open ocean after your plane goes down. Like, you know, to Jensen's point, you know, there are tougher assignments.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The boredom isn't as bad as people think. And like Rob said, like almost every day, it's like, I feel like I'm doing something like this. Like it's, it's, you know, 5 o'clock. I got a video call at two, I've got a video conference, or I've got a phone call, or I've got an interview, or I'm, you know, FaceTiming with the kids or whatever. The days actually go by fairly quickly, I find.
Yeah. But yeah, today I did find out that they changed the schedule and I have to, and I'm working like, my start date is like three days and a weekend later than I thought. So
you have an additional week now without work, but no quarantine.
But no quarantine, which would be better. But there was a part of me that was like the feeling of knowing we're going to get out. You know what I mean? It'd be weird if it's like I'm stuck in here and like there's nothing to be done. I'll never. Right. I don't know when I'm getting out. You know what I'm saying? But there was a part of me when I found out it was going to be like more time. I was like, it's because I still don't know what we can do when our quarantine's over. Like, what does Canada allow? Do you know, Jensen?
They are looser restrictions than, you know, we're probably used to, but there's still some definite restrictions. So we'll get a list, I think, I'm sure, from production, but it's, you know, no groups over six, you know, you can't get a reservation or the restaurants are open. I think there's, you know, you can go out to eat, but it's, still distancing. It's, you know, I think they're doing a lot of really good things up here, clearly, because the numbers show it.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's not like a free for all up here. It's not like, oh, it's, you know, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I think it's still, you gotta be smart. You gotta social distance. You gotta, you know, keep a mask on when you can't do that and just be smart. It's almost like what it was before everything got locked down.
Right.
Jensen, one thing you might not know about our podcast, because
I don't know anything about this.
You don't follow our work.
You said, let's Zoom today, and I was like, all right, my Apple Watch, I don't have anything yet.
Robot butler, bring me my Negroni.
You already have it, Jensen.
I did pre-make it though. I will say,
dude, I noticed. I thought it came in the glass like that. Like, wait, I watched him go back there, and he was like, "Boop!" Like you just had it. So yeah, you were ready.
Yeah, I pre-made.
You always come to set prepared.
Rob writes songs all throughout the podcast. So when you actually listen to this podcast, it'll be riddled with tunes. For example, he's going to write a song called "Jensen Makes His Own Pre-Makes His Own Negronis."
Got it.
And he's going to drop it in right in that gap.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Jensen is a friend and a homie. But he's got a special butler that pre-makes his Negronis.
It's great. And then he also...
Well, this is pre-recorded. We're not live right now.
No. No. And he also, I mean, we're not going to edit the gold out, you know.
We'll,
but
we'll cut. I usually cut out most of Rich's bits.
Yeah, I'm not actually in the podcast.
Right.
He usually replaces me with a frozen picture of Tony the Tiger. But that's Spate.
There's Spate.
Exactly.
God, that would totally be you if you were a cartoon character.
Yeah, because I've always enjoyed encouraging children to play sports by giving them shit cereal. It's my favorite thing. Hey, stuff.
Nice.
What do you do?
You know, that's this. I got this little. Look how it's like a little parlor.
Is that a?
I got this one. I think I showed it to you.
It's a travel guitar. A little travel axe.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, it's just a parlor guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But it's yeah.
That's nice.
I'll bring it to set, Robbie.
Awesome. Please do. What is it? Is it? What is it? Is it? What's the brand?
It's a Larrivé.
Oh wow! Yeah, like, I didn't recognize this.
It's a very, very quality Canadian-made guitar. Even though I believe this one is made in Oxnard, California.
Yeah, but you know, Oxnard is the Canada of California. So I guess that makes sense.
That's true.
I like the fact that you said, I'll bring that to set. And what are you going to do? Have it shrink wrapped, hand it to Pod Yellow, who will then disinfect it.
Yeah, they're going to disinfect it.
It'll travel to Manitoba for.
Well, so this is the thing, is like the only people we're allowed to hang out with are people in our color coded group. And even then, I think that the hair makeup ladies are still going to have to wear like face shields when they, you know, give us touch-ups and stuff like that.
Which is going to be so strange because these are people that we are like friendly, that we talk to.
They are literally friends of ours. Yeah. Like these are friends that we talk to.
And it's just going
to
be like,
you know, obviously on, but an offset quite often. I mean,
yeah,
these are people that I've spent my birthdays with. These are people that I've, you know, celebrated life achievements with. And
right.
To now have like this barrier between us is really going to be, it's going to be weird and it's going to be, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be sad.
You know, what's weird is where we don't know how far back this is going to boomerang. If you go back to 9/11 and when we used to walk to the gate to pick up grandma, you're like, oh, I'll just walk to the gate. No problem. And then 9/11 happens and no one who's not on a plane,
nobody passed security. Yeah.
No. So obviously extreme measures are being taken and I don't think we live in this universe forever, but I don't know if it slingshots back all the way to.
I don't think it does.
Where we were either.
I don't think it does.
May change the framework of how productions are done, or you know, or all kinds of business.
I think it will. I think this is going to have an impact on moving forward. I don't think we get back to exactly the way we were, but I feel like we adjust accordingly and get back to a similar life. You know, I was talking to a friend today who was like, I don't see, you know, gatherings of people in, you know, in the future at all. And I'm like, no, humans have to gather.
Yeah.
You know, you think about concerts, think about festivals, think about sports, think about,
and you know, I see it, all those things. I see it, like how people go through metal detectors. I see you walking through a thermometer, like you're getting your temperature taken, and suddenly you walk through and you're 100. They're like, sorry pal, you turned, you're not going through.
No, I
kind of think that's going to be a new normal,
even though they've just given it to five people in line who you're allowed in.
But like, how
details from details,
even that, Richard, like think about that though. What if somebody runs hot? What if You know what I'm saying? Like, we start turning people away based on their temperature. Then it becomes a whole issue of like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the line of the temperature? And
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, and I could be wrong, I just feel like there will be some kind of new measuring stick. Like,
you're right.
And not all of it's about that. Like, I do think that there might be some new measuring sticks we use, new parameters for that kind of thing to try to keep people who might have an illness from being in large groups for too long, even if they don't know they're a carrier. But also, look how business is being run. And like, I think Twitter is one of those examples where they cleared out several floors of their building.
Yeah.
And now they've decided, well, screw it. We don't need those three floors. Like, accounting actually doesn't need to be here. They can come in for monthly conferences or whatever. They like, we don't necessarily have to rent that entire building for that department all year round. We can change the way we do business. And in a weird way, some things that will benefit are the way we've all figured out how to connect and do business from afar. And do we need to be there to have that conversation, or could we be doing this? You know, do I need to fly to New York for lunch, or could this conversation be taking place here? And I feel like there's a lot of that that actually will reshape how business, commerce, not just entertainment, all commerce goes.
Absolutely.
Goes forward.
What do you feel? Hey, Spade, I have a question for you. As well, all three of us actually are people that have grown up, you know, with an idea of how we're taught that when you meet somebody, you look them in the eye and you shake your hand, their hand, and you give a firm hand. I mean, my grandfather, you know, would always be like, you know, squeeze it harder, you know, give me a grip.
And you give him a kiss on the cheek, and you wrap your.
My father was always like, you look him in the eye and you give him a firm handshake, and like that was the way that our culture and our society has been greeting people now for generations.
I know.
Is that, have we lost that?
Man, you're bringing up something I have literally thought about a lot. Robbie, I mean, you know, you've got a son. I know that like you're raised in the Midwest.
We all have sons.
It's all part of the, but it's also, we're all Americans raised in Midwest, anywhere in America. That's part of the culture of our.
Yeah, I was going to say like, you know, being in the South, but no, I think that's just that's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing. It's especially a male thing. And I feel like I would hate to see that die, but I think it might die. But I feel like it'll get replaced with something. And this is going to sound asinine, and I'm not making a joke. I don't know if this is the thing, but it's going to get replaced with like the elbow bump or something. I just feel like there's going to be some sort of greeting that gets that replaces it. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. It might be like the, you know, we'll go back to tipping our cap. I don't know, but it'll be, you know, I feel like something will replace it because society, there's always been a need to show respect. There's always been a need to show connection and deference.
That physical connection is such a, it's so ingrained in me, I know. And as like, I can't imagine meeting somebody and not shaking their hand.
And just, you know, you say those phrases, like, I shook his hand, I looked him in the eye. Like that is like, I knew him in that moment. I got to know that person, or I looked
him in the eye. I bumped his elbow.
That doesn't carry the same way. I looked away.
Yeah.
And I searched for his elbow in midair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know where that's going to land. You know, clearly I think with people that, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, hugging will still be, you know, cause we all hug each other.
Such a hugger. Yeah.
You know, it's whether it's the bro hug or the full, like bring it in.
Yeah, dude.
Just the introduction and meeting of somebody is, I think that's going to change. And I
do too.
Yeah. I think it's,
I don't like it either.
I think it is.
I don't either. You know, although I think our president would disagree. Wasn't he said a long time ago, he's like, I don't like shaking hands. We don't need shaking hands. So maybe he's got a name.
That track.
What are you gonna say, Robbie? You're chiming in there. What are you saying?
Oh, I'm a hugger. You know, I like hugging people. And I had a friend coming over the other day that I hadn't seen in a while. We were gonna do a socially distanced thing at my house, and I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I cannot hug this dude. He's like, I've known him since you know, I was in college and, but it's like, yeah, we had to do it. We had to just be like, greetings, you know.
Yeah. Greetings. And it's weird because I've had the same thing. I'm up in Oregon and it's a small town and you run into like, this is salt of the earth country. You run into, you know, the farmers and the guys you've known. I've been coming up here 20 years. You know these guys, but they're also trying to do the right thing, trying to check the right boxes and stay healthy. So they woke up, they're like, hey, like, you know, because you can't shake hands. Yeah. There's that awkward beat of people who know each other having that beat of people who don't know each other. You know what I mean? It has that, it injects a weird energy into the exchange that wasn't there before. Because familiarity, no one knows how to express familiarity and, you know, respect and greetings. It's very trippy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really
trippy. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of looks when the dust settles. You know?
It does. It is going to be interesting. And I think nothing sums it up more poignantly than Rob's song, Goodbye Handshake.
Handshake, leave the appendage. Goodbye, hugs. So long. Goodbye, handshake. Hello, elbow.
Holy shit, that was beautiful, Rob. That was really,
Thank you so much.
Wow.
I was feeling it. I
was wondering what it was going to look like, and you really put it into perspective.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, I never thought of severing the hand from the body, cleaving an appendage.
You thought that was a weird choice of words?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I think that headbutting would be the same as a handshake.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you'd be food for thought.
Did you like the trumpet solo?
Yeah. I mean, I never think trumpet harpsichord, but you nailed it. You brought them both together.
Jensen, that's what he always does to me. He'll do that bit and then add something that seems impossible for me to pull up, you know.
So not going to happen.
And a sonata in French.
All right. You went there.
A lot of times I'll record the song before I listen to what we say after the song. So he'll be like, and now here's a song about, you know, whatever, the drink you're having tonight. And then we'll come back and he's like, wow, the way you worked cock into it, that was, and they'll be like, God damn it. And then I gotta go back and re-record the vocals.
Or do you go, phew, good thing I worked cock into it. Fortunately, that's my go-to.
Good thing you worked that one in there, because you don't want to leave that one out.
Okay, so I as we were talking about the weirdness of business, you're you know, shamelessly plugging your brewery on your hat, and I want to ask you, how has that changed in this new normal? How is operating that business?
Good question, Rich. Good question.
We got very fortunate. There's been a lot of people in the craft brewery industry, certainly in Texas, that have felt the hard hit of this pandemic, and over a half a dozen have actually had to close their doors indefinitely. So we were very fortunate enough that, well, I'll backtrack a little bit. All of our revenue was really coming from the tap room. Which is a destination place. And for anybody that's ever been there, they know, it's a little bit of a drive outside of town, but once you get there, it's, you know, this beautiful acreage and an oak grove with, plenty of seating and picnic benches and kids can run around. And, it's just a really cool spot. And that's what we heavily relied on was the foot traffic through there. So we closed our doors, pretty quickly, end of March, and just kind of focused on like getting the canning line up and running, because we bought the canning line and we were still, you know, months away from dialing it in and getting our cans printed and stuff like that. So we kind of pushed the vendors that we were working with to help us out. We need some product. We've got a lot of beer in these tanks that's not getting used. We have a lot of product that's just sitting right now. We don't want it to go bad. So we need to actually do something with it. So it was like, you know, an Indiana Jones slide under the wall, the stone wall, and grabbing the hat. Like, we just barely got out. The canning line got up and running. We got all our cans. Our sales team hit the, hit the phones, and basically all of our beer got bought immediately by grocery stores, liquor stores, markets, right. And it all went out. So now we have pivoted from being a bar tap room experience place to just a manufacturing canning facility.
That's so cool.
And we still do beer to go and stuff like that. But I would say that our team there really pivoted amazingly. And, you know, all the bartenders and people that were, you know, bussing tables and stuff, they are now on the manufacturing line, and they're, you know, busting their tail off, but they're still getting paid. They're still making a wage.
Yeah.
And so we were able to hold on to a lot of our employees and keep the doors open. Well, open for the employees to work, keep the lights on, I would say. And so that's been our go-to right now. We're relying on our canning sales, and that's kept us alive, and hopefully it keeps us alive until we can get the doors open to the public again. But fingers crossed that happens soon, because we got a lot of beer to share.
Well, man, the other day you were drinking it when we were having our Zoom, and I was it looked so good. I was like, damn you, quarantine. save me some.
I know. You could have rolled you over some, yeah, but we're just quarantined far enough apart that.
Hey, can you walk?
Yeah. Unlike you and Jake.
Hey, can I ask you a question completely off topic? What do you put in a Negroni? How do you make a Negroni?
Well, Rob, before you say a word, Jensen Ackles, you wrote a song.
I did.
That, by the way, is an homage to the drink itself. It's beautiful. I've said too much. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Benedict, the Negroni song.
It's the Negroni song. It's the Negroni song.
I got to tell you, it's so good. What you do there. The piccolo. Well, who'd have thought?
Such a strong choice. The
it
piccolo.
Really is a strong choice.
But I don't know.
But if I may.
Yeah.
It accented beautifully your use of playing the glasses, because I thought it's a cocktail.
Like, yeah. In a breakdown, like a glass, crystal glass breakdown.
Most people go for a bridge. Yeah.
Most people go for a bridge, but a crystal breakdown is, it's
cold
and it works.
Screw you both. That's
good. I do 2.5 ounces of gin.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I like my drinks a little stronger.
Sure. Well,
and I do about an ounce of Campari and an ounce of sweet vermouth.
Okay. It's a gin.
And a garnish with a lemon.
Yum.
Peel.
So Jensen Ackles turned me on to the Negroni.
Stir. Don't shake.
Stir, don't shake.
Okay.
And giant ice ball if you got one.
If you got one.
You turned me on to the Negroni. I love the Negroni. I came up here to Joseph, Oregon, which is not known as Negroni country, but I immediately went and got Campari, sweet vermouth, and because
it's known as natural light country.
It's really not. When you go in like, where can a fella get a Negroni? That's when people get punched. You get hit up here. Somebody
know your audience, Rich. Know your audience.
Know your bartender. I mean, Christ, he'll shoot you. But somebody recently showed me I love Negronis, but I never make them at home. And then somebody sent me a video that I guess Stanley Tucci posted an Instagram video of himself making Negronis for his wife.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. The only reason why I knew it was a gin drink, the only reason why I know the ingredients is because Stanley Tucci does a how to make Negronis at home.
Does
video.
Not surprise me. He seems like a
Negroni fella.
Yeah.
He seems like he can class it up. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's so classy. But there's no Negroni story I have that doesn't end with talking about
The Negroni.
The Negroni in the Negroni.
That's
the inhibition, I mean, or what is it called?
DiCaprio prohibition?
No,
the DiCaprio movie.
Oh, the beach.
Inception.
Oh, yeah, Inception.
It's called the Inception Negroni.
Right.
So it is. So yes, there is a bar here in town that makes a Negroni, a traditional Negroni,
yep.
And then they put it inside a ball of ice. Yep. So the ice is like a big ball of red ice, but inside that ice ball is a cocktail. They then take that iced ball Negroni, and they put it into a glass that is already filled with a white version of a Negroni, which instead of using Campari, they use a, and I forget what the liqueur is, but it's a...
Hold on, I hate to interrupt. We have news from the outside world, Rob.
Ah!
News from the world.
With Frank Spate.
What's happening? Frank Spate just froze again.
Big Frank.
Frank, you recognize Jensen down there in addition to Rob. And
yeah.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Are we going to have dinner?
Yeah, we're going to have dinner.
Dad, are we going to have dinner?
For starters, I think your grandparents might be feeding you, but...
I don't think they're not making anything. Like I asked them, they said... tonight.
Well, you can mention to them that daddy's still working, and that if you need a bite of food. Otherwise, when I'm done, I will make you dinner.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be done soon, Frank.
All right. Say goodbye to
Frank,
the fellas.
Frank, bye. Why don't you be a good boy and make your why don't you be a good boy and run upstairs and make your dad a pork chop for dinner.
All right.
What do you want you to make me?
Pork chop.
Funny, upstairs is the pork chop kitchen. That's perfect.
There you go.
Bye, buddy. I'll see you in a bit.
Hi, Frank.
That's great. That was a weekly thing with us, Jensen. Every week at the old podcast, we'd have one of the boys would come in. It'd be news from the world.
And, one of the blonde boys would roll in. And
it's never planned. It's always them. They're fighting or they're annoyed by something or they need food, like that. So.
And this is not the first time that the question has been, are you feeding me?
Are you feeding me?
And if not, who is?
I've also had the question, mom is mad at you. Why haven't you come to dinner? You know, that's another theme.
Yeah, I know that one very well.
So you got the other Negroni. Here's the thing about the white Negroni. I missed a little bit of it because I saw Frank come in, but both sweet vermouth has got color to it, right? And so does Campari. So it's got to have two different.
So it's got two clear versions of a sweet vermouth and also a bittering liqueur, which I don't know what the name of them are. I'm sure, you know, bartenders will know this, but whatever they do, they make a version, a white Negroni.
Right.
And what they do is they take this red iced ball of Negroni and put it into the white drink. So you then have a red ice cube inside of a white cocktail, and then you once you finish with the white Negroni, which is delicious,
and they give you a little
so good.
They give you an egg cracker, and then they come over and they go, and they crack the ball of ice, and then out spills a red Negroni, and you've got a whole nother cocktail.
You got another Negroni.
Inception.
It's so great, and
it's so fun.
It acts. I remember the one time I've known you for a long time, and it was, I don't know, 6 months ago. I said, dude, you know, you've never taken me to this bar for a Negroni and a Negroni. And you said, I've never taken, and then you mimed shooting yourself in the head and offing it because you were so ashamed, is my point. You swallowed a bullet because you knew your buddy Rich deserved.
I feel like we had tried a few times and we were, the place was either closed or it was an off night.
Rich had a thing.
Here's the thing. We tried one time and it was closed. The other times you've tried to take me is at the end of a night at 1:30. No, and I'm like, I am not using a Negroni as my caboose which you have no problem doing, sir, by the way. No, don't shake your head.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've actually had that exact drink with Jensen at 1:30.
There's a lot, like, where a lot of people are going, like, I should brush my teeth. Jensen's like, I should too, with a Negroni and a Negroni.
With a Negroni. Then just...
then pop it. And I know you've slayed many a visiting director with a nightcap that's a Negroni and a Negroni. Not this guy.
Yeah, not this.
No, sir. Who has two thumbs and ain't going to have a Negroni as a nightcap?
It's really a test. It's just, let me see if you can handle.
Yeah.
Let me see how dumb this kid is. You want to wrap it up with we've had a long night of various things. Should we wrap it all up with two Negronis?
Yeah, not just one. One inside of one.
Right. Two Negronis, baby. It's good stuff.
Yep.
The classic.
That's how we roll up here.
Bobby?
There's a great picture of you and I at like 1:30 in the morning at that place having the Negroni. Oh, yeah. Negroni. Lit by
roll right up to the end of the bar.
Yeah.
We're not looking to stay.
No.
We just need one drink and then we're gone.
And we're gone.
Yeah. In and out.
A nightcap.
That's what they call it.
A nightcap.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a treat to have you on as our guest, first guest.
Happy to do it, boys.
Yeah, man.
It's really special for us.
You're our first guest in a guestless podcast thus far. 13 episodes of no guest.
Right.
And now,
perfect. Well, it can only get better from here, guys.
That's a lie.
Thank you.
This is it. We're going right down the shitter from here, dude. You know that. You know why? Because there's nobody we know who's going to show up with a hat, shirt, kerchief combo that matches their faux background and their throw blanket. Like, you literally have done such a deep dive of fashion and background. And I call it a story of gray. Like, it's so much going on with a splash of red. Ladies and gentlemen, Gray on Red.
Gray on Red. Jensen Ackles. And Richard as the retired farmer, and me as the golf pro gone hip hop.
As the whoa, golf pro.
Oh, there it is.
Divot.
Bogey.
Bear mama divot. Come on, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah. That's my first single. It's called Bogey.
Tune in next week for Elon Musk.
Jensen doesn't want to enjoy that, but he's actually loving it. And that's why we're all buddies. Jensen Ackles, thank you for being here. Thank you for being the test case for the Robin Rich Kings of Con, the podcast.
Virtual hugs.
Virtual hugs.
This is Rich.
That's Rob.
Yeah. See you next time.
It's Kings.